Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Real Life with Rich and Christ. I want to thank you for joining me today. You're going to find out that this show is like no other show that you're going to probably hear or see in Christian media, because I don't talk about what most talk about, and that is the status quo way that we see Christianity today. And what I mean by that is I call it the performance-based gospel, and how that we're supposed to live our lives, our Christian lives, by doing something for God in order for Him to do something for us. And so that's not what I talk about on this show. What I talk about is the real life of Christ and the real spontaneous way that the Spirit of God is moving in and through His body every day as we deal with our real life issues. And just to give you an example, this morning I woke up and my wife Linda, she woke me up actually, and she said there's a wasp flying around in the room and she wanted me to kill it. And she had the covers pulled up over her head so it wouldn't sting her. So I woke up and I looked for this wasp and I couldn't find it, and so I went on my news feed and I checked it, and I just saw a bunch of hurting people. There's one lady on there who's dealing with a mother who is homeless in another state, not knowing where she is, not knowing how to get a hold of her. There's another lady dealing with serious health problems. In the last 2 days, my wife, Linda, has made, yesterday and the day before, she made 2 trips to the emergency room. She has diabetes, and it was out of control for many years, and now she's lost most of the function in her kidneys, and she's on dialysis. And she's also got high blood pressure, and so her blood pressure went through the roof. And so we spent the last 2 days dealing with that. And she's just now starting to recover after 3 days of being really sick. And so what do people do with this stuff? I mean, do you go to a Joel Osteen meeting? Do you sit there and talk to him about how blessed he is and how blessed you can be and how your wallet can be filled and how you never have to suffer with another thing? Is that going to help you when you're going through the stuff that I just talked about? Or do you want to know what the real God of all grace is doing in your life and why, and maybe why you're going through it? Because I'm one of the people that I was corresponding with this morning, and we all go there, and we're liars if we say we don't. You know, she was asking why her, you know, why all, after all these years of suffering, you know, where is God? And why do I have to keep going through this? And that's a legitimate question that every single human being asks. And if you don't ask it, it's because the heat hasn't been turned up hot enough in your life for you to ask that question. Because God only wants one thing out of us. He only asks for one thing. He only asks for everything. And so if you want a real relationship with a real God, you're not going to get it, and I'm going to say this with boldness, you're not going to get it by walking into an institution that sits on a corner in the United States of America. You may get it in maybe, I don't know, 0.05% of the churches in America, if that. I know a few. I know one in Yuma, Arizona. I know one in Atlanta, Georgia. I know one in Las Vegas, Nevada. And other than that, and maybe one in Virginia. But other than that, I don't know of any churches that are out there sharing the real message of true grace that has to do with it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And so what we have in our country is we have leaders who are immature, infantile babies in the Lord who have never known what it is to grow up in God. And the reason they don't know, and the reason I can tell you that, I have evidence of that, is because you're not hearing the message of the cross in the church today. If they were grown up adult believers who no longer took a thought for themselves, they wouldn't be talking about financial planning, and they wouldn't be talking about how to manage your teenager that's out there going crazy. They'd be proclaiming Christ and Him crucified, and they'd be letting the Spirit of God take that and do what He does best with it, and that is pierce the hearts of the believing Christian. Because that's the only change agent there is. There's no other change agent that is available to humanity today, including the immature church, except for the Spirit of God, period. And I'm not talking about the Spirit of God that is all about the gifts of God, and I believe in the gifts. I'm talking about the Spirit of God who wants to take every one of us to the end of everything that we see in this natural realm, so that He is able to live His life in and through us for others. That is His ultimate goal. And the reason I can say that is because when the disciples looked at Jesus one time, they said to Him, "Show us the Father." And Jesus' reply was, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father," which lines up perfectly with His John 17 prayer, that they may be one even as you and I are one. That is, the Holy Spirit's ultimate job is to take us into the place where all we see is the only ministry left, the only ministry that is left, the only viable ministry that is left for the believer is the ministry of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation, which is seeing everything in Christ already finished and walking in it. Isaiah says in Isaiah 30:21, you'll hear a voice behind you, and then He says, neither look to the right or the left. In other words, keep your gaze fixed on Jesus. You'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. That's the Spirit of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. A lamp is not a spotlight. A lamp is not a floodlight, okay? A lamp is there for you to take the next step by the faith of the one who is living His life in and through you and as you today. That is what God has given us today. That is why God is so adamant about taking us into the day so that we see only the day. Because sufficient for the day is the trouble thereof. And I love that verse. Because He doesn't say, sufficient for the day is the walk through the tulips thereof. Or sufficient for the day is the perfect circumstance that you want to live because it's going to make you feel good. He says, sufficient for the day is the trouble thereof. As sure as sparks fly upward, it says, I think it is in Proverbs, man is born to trouble. As sure as sparks fly upward. So this is a real issue of our life, is trouble. A real issue of our life is the daily trial and test that we're faced with every single day. And that trial can be anything. It can be anything from financial, the health, the relationships, to addictions. I mean, it can be anything. It can be big, small, and in between. It can be a trial to you that's not a trial to somebody else. But if it's a trial to you, then it's a trial. And the Bible says that the trial, the testing of our faith, is there for a purpose. It's there for us to grow up. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that we have a progressive kind of a growth as far as what we have in Christ. We have everything pertaining to life and godliness. By His divine mercies, we have everything. We have it right now. We have it all. I look at it more like every single day God pulls back the veil a little bit more to show us what we have in Him. But we have it all. There's no more asking for anything else because we have it all. The mature believer is no longer asking for himself. He's no longer taking a thought for himself. And if you look at Matthew 6:22-24, you see where Jesus talks about a single eye. And He says, if your eye is single, it's full of light. But if your eye is evil, it's full of darkness. Well, the last time I looked, the opposite of the word single is not evil, it's double. Okay? And then you look over at James, and James is talking about a double-minded man in James 1:8. Unstable in all that he does. And if you go to James 3:16, he talks about somebody who is walking in confusion and every evil work. This is the definition of evil that Jesus uses in Matthew 6:22, which is not about behavior and it's not about performance. It's about what you see. And what we see is what we serve. And so Jesus says, if your eye is single, if you see only me in all things, then you're walking in the fullness of life. But if you're distracted like Peter was when he was walking to Jesus on the waves, And he felt the waves, and he was distracted by the wind, and he began to sink. Peter tried to look at Jesus and look at the waves at the same time, and what happened? Peter started sinking. And so God wants to take us as His body to that place where we see only Him in all things. And that sounds really good until you start seeing the way God does that. And the way God does that is He takes our life beyond us to show us that we're not in control of anything. That's the first thing He does. And then He wants to show us His rest. Because until we're resting in the Lord, He's not going to work in and through us. We were created as people of rest. It talks about it in Hebrews 3:7-4:11. It talks about the rest of God. There is a rest for the people of God. Matthew 10:28, I think it is, says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is not talking about a physical rest. This is talking about rest from seeing you as the doer of your life. I wrote an article this last week about the word therefore. And Linda has, right after I met her, I was reading something and it said therefore, and she said, why for is that therefore, therefore? In other words, that therefore is there because it's pointing back to something that just was stated. And so when you look at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, you see there's therefore no condemnation. Those who are in Christ Jesus. This is coming out of the mouth of the ultimate doer of all doers. He called himself the Pharisee of Pharisees. These guys knew the first five books of the Bible memorized by the time they were 8 years old. I mean, you talk about religious and religious to a fault. Remember Paul called himself perfect in the law? And this is the same man that is writing. This is the same man that stood there while Stephen was being killed. This is the same man that was on his way to drag Christians out of their homes on the road to Damascus, and God had a different plan. And he is saying, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And the therefore is reason because it's pointing back to something. And what it's pointing back to is Romans 7. And you see Paul's struggle. You see God taking Paul to the end of Paul in Romans 7. And Paul is crying out, there's something going on inside of me that I don't understand, because the thing that I want to do, I want to follow, it's not allowing me to anymore. And the thing that I don't want to do, that's the very thing that I'm doing. Most people read that passage in Romans 7, and they're trying to figure out, well, what is it Paul was doing? What was it he couldn't, that he didn't want to do? What is it? And that's not what the passage is about at all. It's about Paul coming to the end of doing. God is taking Paul, this Pharisee of Pharisees, who's lived his entire life doing for God. Okay? Living for God. Today we call it living for Jesus. It's the Christian who wants to be like Jesus, which is impossible. And so we look at this thing in Romans 7, and Paul is going through this tremendous internal struggle. And at the very end he says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? He's calling that struggle this death. He's not talking about his physical body. He's talking about what he just went through. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? Who will deliver me from this struggle that I have of trying to do the right thing? And then he has a revelation, because he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. He realized that it was already finished, because Jesus took all the punishment. Jesus endured all of the pain and all of the sorrow, all of the rejection, all of the humiliation, all of the everything that you can think of that is negative concerning human beings. He took it all on himself, and Paul saw that at that second. And as Pharisee of Pharisees, the next thing that he writes is, therefore now no condemnation. The reason he used the word condemnation is because that doing for God brought him under so much condemnation that he couldn't see the next thing that God was doing. We didn't say, there's therefore now no more struggle with doing, because he equated that struggle with doing and condemnation as being the same exact thing. And he says that there is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's all kinds of condemnation if you see yourself out of Christ. There's all kinds of condemnation if you're walking in a separate life, trying to live for God. There's all kinds of condemnation if you don't see yourself in Christ Jesus. That's the key. In Christ. Paul realized that when Jesus died, he died. When Jesus was buried, Paul was buried. When he rose up in newness of life, when the Father raised him up, Paul was raised up in newness of life. Romans 6, 3 through 5. And he said, there's now no condemnation. He goes, it's not about me feeling condemned. It was finished there. That work was done. God said no condemnation, and so there's no condemnation. And Paul goes on to say, because he knew all about the law, Paul was perfect in the law. So Paul goes on to say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He called it a law. That's just like gravity. You throw something up in the air, and it doesn't matter if you want it to stay up there, it's going to come down. There's different laws that are in place, but we have the law of time. At some point in time, every one of us are going to die. That's a law. There's nothing we can do about that. And Paul says the law, not the feeling of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law that I just got done going through in Romans 7. The law that I've gone through since the road to Damascus, when all I think about is all the Christians that I persecuted, and Stephen watching him die right there, and the condemnation that I've been under since that day. This new law called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from that. Not by my doing, because it's of God that you're in Christ Jesus. This not of yourself. It's the gift of God. So Paul is learning that it's not him, it's Christ. And he says this law called grace has set me free from the other law called condemnation. But look what Paul had to go through to see that. And that is why Paul never preached anything except Christ and him crucified. Because Paul found his life in the Christ and him crucified message and nowhere else. Paul saw Jesus Christ crucified and him in him, and he knew that he was set free forever. And it didn't matter what the Pharisees said. It didn't matter what anybody said from that point on. And that was the journey for Paul to come to the place where he finally said, I learned the secret to contentment. I know what it is to be in want. I know what it is to have stuff. I know what it is to feel empty. And I know what it is to feel encouraged. I know what it is to feel abandoned by my own brothers. I know what it is to feel in danger from false believers. Because this is the list he talks about when he says, I'm speaking like a fool. Well, I'm going to tell you guys what I've gone through. For your sake, not mine, for your sake. Because you're sitting here wondering what your trials are going to bring you. And I'm going to tell you right now, I was beaten, I was left for dead, I was in danger from this, that, and the other thing. Alexander the coppersmith hunted me. I was in danger from false believers because I was out there telling the truth and they were persecuting me. And there is no persecution outside of the message of the cross. But it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And this is the only way that the Genesis 3:5 lie, that you will know good and evil, and you will walk in a separated place, and you will walk in division and duality and confusion in every evil word. This is the only solution for it, is Christ and him crucified. There is no other solution. And you are where you are today by the grace of God, because he chose you from the foundation of the world to suffer as he suffered, because he has a greater plan for you than you. And you think you've been set aside, and you think you've been rejected because you've listened to religion, and you've listened to the different gospel lie that says you have to do something for God in order for God to do something for you. I learned that drinking and carousing. That's where I learned that secret, that I can be nothing. For 7 years, I walked away from everything Christianity. And in those 7 years, which is the number of completion, by the way, God did a complete work in me by destroying every religious thing that was ever there before. Every religious thing is gone. By His grace. And so today, you're losing your house. Well, guess what? We're losing our house, too. Today, you're sick. Guess what? I was in the hospital 3 years ago. I almost died 77 days on my back in the most excruciating pain that I've ever been in my life, which birthed this ministry. That was the birth pain to this ministry. This ministry has been the desire of my heart for 35 years. Something was birthed in Paul in his Romans 7 struggle, too. What's being birthed in your life right now through what you're going through? What is God getting ready to spring forth in and through you for others as He takes you through hell, through the valley of the shadow of death, where He rules in death on everything you call life? And everything that used to work doesn't work anymore. Wow. I'm almost done. This is a spontaneous life of Christ. This isn't canned or planned. This is me opening my mouth and Him speaking. Because he has a lot to say, but we have to be in a position to hear it. I've got a book, it's called Rich in Christ. It's a 31-day devotional. It's a deeper life devotional. I had a friend of mine say, you've got to be going down for the third time to read your stuff, Rich. I had another friend of mine say, you've got to be ready to write your own suicide note, which is really Colossians 3, isn't it? And I'm giving it away for free, and all you got to do is private message me on Facebook, Rich Novak, and I'll give you a copy. We'll send it to you free and postage paid. We're never going to see any other ministry do that because we believe it's more important that you have this book than we have the money. Because this book is God speaking to you what I've just been sharing with you today, letting you know that you're perfect exactly where you are, and you couldn't be more perfect than He established you exactly where you are for a purpose that is not yours. And it's not your plan. His plan. And His plan is going to happen. Now, I want to be a part of it. And I hope you do too. And so it's just come back here next Wednesday. We'll see what else God wants to say to us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank You, Lord, for whoever's listening. I ask God that You open their eyes, You unstop their ears, and You let them see and hear what the Spirit of God is saying today and cut through all the other distracting voices, all of the lies of condemnation, all of the lies of not being of God. And let them see that You're rolling death in on everything so that they can see themselves as the container and the vessel of God, and they can know that apart from You, they can do nothing. I'll be here again next week, you guys. Thanks a lot for joining me. And by God's grace, we'll see what He has to say again. God bless.